Well, you'll have to excuse me. I was just enjoying this delicious Calgary water. It is so good. It is so pure. It is so unfluoridated. At least for a little while. At least for a little while. And that's kind of what we're going to be starting the show on today. Welcome. My name is Carrie Lambert, and I'm the Carrie and the Chris Carrie Show from the Woodstock Cafe in Muir, Alberta. Of course, I'm not in Muir, Alberta. I am in Calgary enjoying the water of Calgary, of course. And Chris is late, typical, and that's okay. He'll jump on when we can. But there's so much to talk about politically, etc. Like, you take a couple of days off, and then the amazing stuff that's been happening is, as a matter of fact, we actually had this conversation just with our friends on Friday, and it was like, there must be something in the water. And that kind of stuck with me as to, you know what, we should actually talk about this whole fluoride thing, because I know it's one of those topics that it's very debatable. It was topical even just a few weeks ago. Just a few weeks ago, if you're not aware, Jimmy Kimmel, is he relevant at all? But Jimmy Kimmel actually put us on the map again, but maybe not for the best reasons. But I'm going to play this for you guys, and then we'll bring on our two special guests to talk about this. Give me a second. There you go.
Literally at this very minute, while this bill is on a desk about to become law, the city of Calgary up in Canada is spending $28 million to put the fluoride back in their water because they got rid of it and realized what a giant screw-up it was. In 2011, I guess they voted to get rid of the fluoride, and guess what happened? Thousands of people's teeth rotted, especially children's teeth. And yeah, I know Canadians lose a tooth every time they play hockey, but this is another level of teeth losing. The professor of medicine at the University of Calgary said they did studies. They found that after removing the fluoride from the water, the need for intravenous antibiotic therapy by children to avoid death by infection rose 700% at the Alberta Children's Hospital. So I don't know what they're, I guess just gargle the salt from your lake. I don't know what you're going to do. Sadly, this decision is likely to have a negative effect on a lot of people, but there's one group in the Beehive State that is actually very happy about it.
Here in the great state of Utah, we love to ski. We love our rivers and golf, hot air balloons, hot tubs, and the finest non-alcoholic wines money can buy. But what we love most is clean, fluoride-free water. We're Utah's dentists. And we look forward to seeing you much more often. Picked up by the Cavity Creeps.
And of course, that's what mainstream media portrays us as, good old Canadians, Calgarians, and et cetera, et cetera. And with that, I'd like to bring on some great Calgarians. We're going to bring on Art Matsui and Adele Sonoy. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Carrie.
Affectionately known as Art and Adele, and we've been friends for quite a while, and I'm surprised it's actually taken this long to have you guys on here. Maybe, you know what, obviously I want to talk a little bit about that whole Jimmy Kimmel thing, but why don't we introduce you guys to our viewing audience and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved. You guys are involved in everything. Everything that I'm in, you guys are there and more. As a matter of fact, we both go there and it's like, okay, I know the events that I show up at, and you guys are at the events like eight times that number. So kudos to you guys for doing that. But Art and Adele, maybe tell a little bit about yourself.
You want to start, honey, or you want me to start?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, we really got involved at this level 5 years ago, like a lot of people.
Like did. Everybody did, yes, you're right.
Like everybody yeah. did.
Yeah.
And, we're kind of involved, I mean, before
we had. Yeah, we had this background that, like, especially on the city side, that we've been involved for a long time in the city, and you know, had some pretty big battles with the Stampede here in Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of set us up to, you know, fighting City Hall was something we've been doing for a long time. So this we were there in 2011 to help speak and get fluoride out of the water. And we're so disappointed when they decided they put it to a plebiscite and, you know, we'll let the people say whether we should poison the populace. But yeah. Anyway, that's.
Yeah. I think one of the problems with having any sort of plebiscite like that or a referendum, because, of course, we talk about the referendum all the time, is the people need to be properly educated, right? Because otherwise, they're just going to go up there and they're going to go, well, which do I go yes or do I go no, right? Because honestly, that's the way I was back, you know, when I was living in Manitoba and I was voting there. This was a number of years ago because I've been here since 96. But back in the day, it was like you'd literally walk up to the polling station and you go, who am I voting for? We were not educated back then. And with all the internet, you would think that we'd be able to educate ourselves on any topic now. But yet we still don't.
I heard that people spend an average of 8 minutes deciding who they're going to vote for. 8 minutes. The fluoride issue, the biggest problem we had at that time. There was no fluoride in the water I drank as a child where I grew up. It was never added there. And only 5% of the world is fluoridated. 5%. 95% is not. And our experience and our indoctrination in North America is that it's necessary.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? So, yeah, we didn't have it in the water back in Saskatchewan where I grew up.
So what is your backgrounds in terms of, like, obviously none of us are medical doctors. None of us are a specialist per se, but we have this passion about finding out the information. And so how did you guys even get your start being, I'll call you activists. Is that a proper term for you guys? Because I mean, you're involved with, you were involved with Take Back Alberta. I'm assuming you still are, or to some extent or whatever, a Better Calgary. Which is the city council party, if you want to call it that, right? And what else are you guys involved with? And how did you get involved?
I can tell my little story. when I was raised in a doomsday cult, and so always knew that the government was lying to us. That was my mom used to joke that someone shows up at the door and they say, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. And then she'd laugh, and she still does to this day. So when this all started happening, I was like, oh, here comes trouble, And when Trudeau started signaling for the vaccine, I actually phoned my MP, something picking up that phone, it's very, very heavy. So I'm not really strong in that, but that was such a strong compulsion. That I phoned our MP and talked to him, and he told me, Adele, he said, if someone comes at me with a needle, they're liable to lose a few teeth. And he told me personal story as to why. Wow. And so I was like, phew, even though he's a conservative and they don't have a voice, I felt at least some comfort in that. We wouldn't have to do that. But then when Rachel Notley and everybody refers to the story, when she started talking about going door to door with the military, yes, she was opposition or critic, as they call them here in Alberta. So they get to criticize everything and everyone. But when she started signaling that, I phoned her and divorced her. I was a lefty. I was so far left, my blood bled orange. Yeah. But then I also phoned our MLA and did the same thing. Of course, it was on voicemail because, you know, who picks up the phone? But that was my line. And since then, I've read the Communist Manifesto.
The NDP. The
Constitution. Yeah. And they are very clear that they are socialist Democrats or whatever. And I'm like, how's that a thing? Yeah. Being socialist Democrat, how is that even a thing? So, jump ship, completely jump ship.
Wow. For me, I was doing this sort of professionally before I retired during COVID.
Okay.
I was doing forensic engineering and studying how things fail and doing research and, building contraptions on how to test things to failure. And so this was kind of right up our my alley, like studying regulations and whatnot. And you know, that when this fluoridation thing came back, it's like, well, this is so wrong. There's so much information out there that you know, you can't possibly think that this is a good thing. The benefit to risk ratio is so bad that I thought, well, how could they do this? How could they actually put this in the water? They're going to trade kids' IQs for kids' cavities. It's, you know, it's not even on the same magnitude. So,
yeah. And research shows 3 to 9 IQ points. 3 to 9, a loss of 3.
That and have actually been researched and traced and documented. Yes,
and that's over, you know, a course of time or whatever. But that reduces a child's trajectory in life. And they're showing, you know, reduction in, you know, income, education levels, and all of the things that would help that child to be successful.
Well, I grew up in Winnipeg, and we had fluoride in the water. And as far as I know, they still do. Honestly, I haven't really checked into it because
probably in
Alberta. And I remember that they were touting that, you know, they'd have the dental assistants come in once a year. And remember when you'd have to chew your little pink tablets or whatever and see what was still on your teeth or whatever? We had to go through all that. And they were like, fluoride in the water is the best thing, blah, blah, blah. And then you look into it later and you go, well, that helps my teeth, but what is it doing with the rest of my body? What's it doing? Like, water is used everywhere. We're cooking in it. We're using it to water plants, et cetera. Right. And so from what I've been able to figure out and do a little bit of research on is typically there is fluoride and minerals in all the drinking water kind of everywhere. Right. But it just seems to be at a lower concentration. So I'm not sure if you guys can make any comments on any of that.
I can. So there, you're right. There is natural fluoride in drinking. Is that what you're talking about, is natural?
Well, yeah, like any water. Yeah.
But there is.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's calcium fluoride, but it's strongly bound. Fluoride is very volatile chemical. And if you see the periodic table and understand that, it's one of the most volatile chemicals. However, there are places where even that natural fluoride is so high, they're trying to lower it because people are having thyroid problems and kidney problems and fluorosis problems and all of the things that come with that fluoride. Because it is, there are three very toxic substances that are very familiar to all of us: arsenic, lead, and fluoride. Arsenic is the most toxic, and fluoride is second. Lead isn't even as toxic as fluoride is.
Wow.
And another little point, when you put fluoride in the water, if you have lead pipes, and there's about 150 households in Calgary that do, it draws the lead out of the pipes. It increases the lead content coming out of the pipes.
I did not know that.
Wow. Yeah.
Our neighbor down the block has lead pipes.
They've given her, the city gave her a water filter.
Is that right?
Yeah, some time ago. They gave her the option to change the pipe. So the main pipe's been changed, but from her house to the street connection, they gave her the option to do that at her own expense.
Yeah.
And of course, she's like 93 years old. She's not going to do that. So they gave her a water filter.
Wow. Well, and that's, you know, that's a whole other topic too, in terms of, is there anything that we can do to get rid of the fluoride? And I already know the answer to that one. But what I'd like to do is you guys have a website set up right now, and I'm just going to jump on to that.
It's an older website. Dr. Bob Dixon is the founder of Safe Water Calgary, and this is his website. I've been helping a lot with it lately, with not the main building of it, but with the maintaining of the petition page and related updates for that.
Okay. And so maybe even just talk a little bit of what information is on the website and how, you know, can people use and educate themselves on all this?
there's the website's undergone a lot of changes. I think there's been some pages that, you know, just to be more focused on the actual mission in the for the 2021, was it 21, the plebiscite? I think some of those, some of the pages were hidden, but there's still a lot of really good information on there. The that's a really good movie, the Our Daily Dose one that you just passed there.
Yeah.
And that's that lady on there is the one who's responsible for that study that was done out of Ontario.
Okay.
Very powerful study. And it led the editor of JAMA to say that he, if he had a pregnant wife, he would make sure she doesn't drink fluoridated water. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was okay. So you made a point earlier about getting information to the public. Yes. What you're looking at right there is a flyer that Safe Water Calgary produced and had mailed to every single house in the city. And guess what happened? It got stopped. Many posties wouldn't mail it. And I don't know where it got held up in the chain, but we were having people report back and they didn't get it. So many people.
I can tell you right now, this is the first time I've seen this.
Yeah, it was it was paid to go to every single house in the city. Also, there was an ad placed in the Herald and Sun, and that ad was stopped after 2 days. Safe Water Calgary paid for 5.
Oh, wow.
And they stopped it. I think they did refund the money, but they have never, ever. Dr. Bob Dixon founded Safe Water Calgary 26 years ago, 27 now, I think. But they have never, ever interviewed him for his side of the story. They always, every time they, oh, we're going to bring in an expert panel. They only talk to and bring in the people who are pro. There is so much money behind fluoride. Dentists' billables are $100,000 a year for fluoride treatments alone.
Yeah.
I think that was profit, actually. And a lot of them, a lot more dentists are not doing fluoride anymore than you might realize. And even more dentists are against it in the water because drinking it is not how you have any benefit from it at all.
Yeah.
Drinking it is you know, your body's just filtering. We're just receptacles for toxic waste from the chemical industry that's getting rid of what would be their liability. We're now the receptacle for their problem.
I think
it's a profit stream for them now, a huge profit stream. There's so much money behind you know, what would they'd have to deal with the loss, like the liability of having to contain it somehow if it weren't for municipal water delivery.
I think our viewers know that I have an older daughter who's an optometrist and a younger daughter who's now in third year of dentistry at UBC. And I did talk to her a little bit about fluoride and how it's used. And honestly, all she really did was take a class or two on it. And all they talked about, it was how fluoride is almost like a natural antiseptic, if you want to call it that, and basically how it strengthens the teeth and all that. And actually, Arlene, who is watching here, she also says, I work in dental, and I know that fluoride on enamel works to remineralize the tooth surface. Fluoride is not advised to be ingested into the digestive system. Do not swallow fluoride. And it's funny that she actually said, do not swallow fluoride, because when Adele sent me some notes on here, of course, I just called this podcast Fluoride in Calgary because I couldn't come up with something more original, but I wanted to actually say, because it's in Calgary, but she suggested fluoride, don't swallow it. I thought that was brilliant. That's exactly what it is. I mean,
what child does not swallow their toothpaste?
Oh absolutely.
You're going to teach a little child not to swallow what they put in their mouth, especially when it tastes like bubblegum.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes, exactly. And that's, And even Arlene again says one more thing here. We need to ensure a safe water supply and fewer chemicals in our water, the better. Fluoride is not one of the chemicals we need in our water to ensure a safe supply. So thank you,
Arlene. That's exactly right. And I will tell you too, just for the sake of the dentistry thing, fluoride on has a strong, because it's so volatile, it's looking for something to bind to. I don't think it exists in nature on its own. It has to be bound to something because it's very volatile. Well, it loves calcium. It absolutely adores calcium, and it makes it hard, but is harder better? it makes that brittle. And then when people, chlorosis has gone from like 50 whatever percent to 70 and more percent in, and fluorosis is very expensive to fix. And when you have fluorosis on your teeth, they're basically exposed bones.
Yeah.
When you have fluorosis on your tooth, you have fluorosis on your bones. And in places where they fluoridate their water, hip fractures are higher in seniors than where they don't. And we know, we absolutely know that when hip fractures happen with a senior, very often they don't make it home from the hospital after that.
Wow.
So,
you know, go ahead, Art.
Which was interesting. So, I mean, this all started for this latest round, it all started back in November. And I spoke at council at budget time. I thought, I'm sitting there and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to talk about fluoride to save money. Don't put fluoride in the water. And I talked to David Duckworth, the CAO of the Corporation of Calgary. And he says, yeah, I'm an engineer. And I says, yeah, it's going to make my bones brittle. I says, who's going to pay for all this? Like, do you have liability insurance? He goes, no, you're going to pay for it. He says, your taxpayers pay for it. And he says, you know, besides, my mother died of a fractured hip. And he goes, I'm an engineer, and if it was up to me, I wouldn't put it in the water. And it just about floored me. So, like,
he's the CAO. He's the chief
administrator.
Yeah. So he should be able to say no. Like, who makes that decision? I guess, you know, we can talk about plebiscites and polling for medicating.
And in the end, I guess he was looking at it as he's just one person, one voice, right?
Yes.
But he's kind of like the top voice, right?
He should be
the one that signs the check or not.
And he's an engineer.
Yeah.
And he's an engineer. So, you know, after I found that out, he gives me his card, says David Duckworth, PEng. And so I go, well, doesn't it say in the engineering code of ethics to do no harm, just like a doctor, right? That what it says is the safety of the public is paramount for an engineer. And it's above, even above the wishes of your client or employer. I thought, well, that's pretty powerful stuff. So a long story short, I started a ethics violation against David Duckworth and the city of Calgary.
Wow.
The first iteration, they rejected me. You know, like everything I wrote to David Duckworth, I sent registered, and all my evidence was like read in like a court case. And then they still said no. And then, so I wrote him another letter saying that, you know, you're not taking in new information that affects the health of the public. It's against your code of ethics, and you can't use the just following orders thing, because what they said was, well, Health Canada says it's okay and Alberta Health says it's okay, so we're gonna do it, we don't care what you say.
I was gonna say that, because in looking at, like, I did a little bit of research in terms of pages. Of course, you know, I'm going to just show you guys what's going on here. So we're looking at the city of Calgary, and they've got a statement on it and everything. You know, it's all fine and dandy. Actually, I'm not scrolling for some reason. Oh, there it goes. What is fluoride? Health Canada says it's great. You know, and we've actually had, like, we've had lawyer Sean Buckley on from the NCI. And of course, he used to actually work for Health Canada, and now he's actually on the opposite side against Health Canada for various reasons. And anyway, so this is the statement. If anybody wanted to go on here, really easy, literally just search for Calgary fluoride water. Like, that's all you need to do. And there's so many pages that show up on that. Why Calgary reversed decision after 10 years. So again, the history was at some point, and I couldn't find out exactly when Calgary was doing fluoride in the water. But in 2011, they went to some sort of a plebiscite, and they said, nope, we're not going to do it anymore. And I don't know if you know what happened back then. Was it an engineering thing? Was it like...
No, well, it wasn't a plebiscite.
It was a council decision.
It came up in 2011. And the fluoride equipment had reached its end of life cycle. It's very hard on the...
Yes, okay.
And so they had to...
It probably dissolved because of all the fluoride they were using.
It did. It actually
doesn't last very long. It has to be redone every few years.
So they... You know, they had to come up with, at that time, they said it was going to be $9 million to replace the equipment. So therefore, you need a council decision. And, you know, after a long, prolonged public hearing, they said they voted no to replacing the equipment. And fluoride ended in 2011. That's how it ended.
Okay. And then what happened after that? Like, obviously, there was a period there where everyone seemed to be fine. And then it went to the study, according to Jimmy Kimmel comment, went to the study and they said, no, you know what? People's teeth are rotting. We need to put the fluoride back in. Was it that simple? So like, what was the conversation?
I believe that's the study. I actually wrote to the university and told them to fire that researcher. Yeah. Because if that's the study I'm remembering, they're like, they took the time period in Calgary that they used for and in general, people's teeth are getting worse and worse. You mm-hmm. know, kids eat garbage and whatever.
And we're getting older too.
Yes. Right? And in Edmonton, so in the same time period, or sorry, a different time period. So they used a span of however many years in Edmonton and a span of a different set of years in Calgary. Yeah. And they didn't coincide. And so Edmonton kids' teeth apparently were better. But you know what? Like, teeth decay is subjective. First of all, back to the fluoride thing, it will save a half to one cavity on average per child in their lifetime. That's what, it, right? Yeah. How much money we spend for that. Anyways, you know, but it is subjective. Several years ago, like we're talking decades ago, there was somebody who went across Canada to dentists in every province, and they wrote an article in the Reader's Digest. And by the end of their entire trip, they needed every tooth in their mouth filled and cavities. And each place was this one and that one and that one and this one. And they were all different. Damn. So it's quite subjective, you know, and how they measure and what they determine. And the fact is, your body does remineralize your teeth, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not something that we should always just run to that last treatment thing, that, you know, cut, poison, burn kind of thing that we're,
yeah.
You know, if at first diet and exercise fail, but they never do that in the medical system. They go right to the pills and the cuts and the poisons and the burns instead of counseling on diet and exercise first. So
don't eat sugar and brush your teeth.
Yes. And there was a program
at the same time
out of Scotland, there was a program.
You're scraping. Don't use sugar as toothpaste. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's good advice, Carrie.
I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt.
Out of Scotland, there was a program they've done. Do you remember what it was called?
Something Smiles.
And they taught children how to keep their teeth clean and stuff. And it was very effective. Here, we just want to medicate, you know. Yeah. And fluoride is a drug. I know there's a lot of controversy about that, but it's just a mineral, they'll say. But it actually, that one piece that we sent to you, actually, does it display the DIN on there? It has a drug identification number. So it is a drug. The FDA regulates it as a drug, health, you know, and we're basically drug mass medicating people.
Yeah.
Because you're too lazy or eat too much garbage or whatever. Or we just want the money that comes or whatever. We don't know if there's some financial incentive involved in putting fluoride in the water. I think we need to FOIP that information. I did hear that from a gentleman we know who lives in another community, a small community outside Calgary, and he's friends with the mayor, and the mayor told him, we were offered a financial incentive to put fluoride in the water. So how much is that? And is it also some sort of honorarium per counselor. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
and this things. Part, I'm just gonna throw some numbers out that mean nothing because I haven't done any research on it. But let's just say how much is it to actually do the treatment plant? Is it 30 million? Do you know how much?
It was $28 million to put the equipment in.
Okay.
And $1 million a year for supplies and maintenance.
And how much for supplies? Sorry?
$1 million a year.
$1 million a year.
When they first costed it out, because it's been taking so long, they went back to council and arbitrarily kept adding more and more money. I think it was 10 or 11 million initially. Okay. And now it's up to $28 million because of all the things they ended up in so there's two treatment plants in Calgary, and they had to build a new separate building. It is so dangerous. They actually have to have a separate facility. The people who handle it have to wear hazmat suits. It is so very dangerous. And yeah. I actually have.
Yeah. Good picture.
Oh, yes. Great picture.
Why does it come in packaging that look like this? Yeah,
exactly. With skull and crossbones and acidic too. I actually have a petition commenter made a comment. It's just the short 5 or 6 sentences. Can I read it?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Okay. It says, I was employed as the assistant water treatment operator, in the early 80s in a small town in Saskatchewan. One of my responsibilities was to regulate the introduction of chlorine and fluoride to the water supply. Being a small town and 40 years ago, we did not have the safety equipment available now in larger centers. As a result, I now suffer from osteofluorosis, an accumulation of fluoride in the bones. I have had 51 documented fractures and more suspected but untreated fractures in my life, and only 6 of them were from farm accident before I started working there. The process of accumulation may be slower for people that did not have the extreme exposure that I had, but it is inevitable nonetheless, suggesting that I, as a retired senior living on CPP and OAS, should just buy bottled water is an ineffectual and costly elitist non-option for me and tens of thousands of Calgarians.
I agree. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Probably, and of course, hundreds of thousands.
The big question is that, you know, if this did go through a plebiscite and 62% of Calgarians agreed, I believe that's what the number was.
62% of those who voted.
So that's kind of what I wanted to get into. So this was another graph you sent to me, because I think this really does, this is the tell of the tape here on this one. So this is, you know, roughly 1.6 million people who actually voted and likewise. So I haven't even touched on the topic of this is Calgary, but we actually have water that goes out to Airdrie, Chestermere, Strathmore. Right?
Yes, and also parts of Foothills County and okay.
Reservation,
Indian yeah. Reservation, yeah.
So in total, what do we have? 1.7 million people? Is that kind of what that graph shows?
1.823.
So with the adding up, starting at the bottom, Calgary plus Airdrie plus Strathmore. So it's 1.823. And then subtracting the number of people who voted yes, who did consent. I don't think they had proper consent because they wouldn't have had all the information and certainly not the information we have today. Yeah. That was on the gray part on the 206,320. So you subtract them, and 1.61 million people did not consent.
That's true too. And there it is. You will be medicated with the consent of 11.3%.
That's right? It.
Yeah. And it seems to be that way, no matter what we get involved with in doing a vote, because you know, you're not going to get 100% of the people coming out to vote, but for something like this, when was this one done? Was this one done part of the municipal or the provincial election, or what was that?
Municipal in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're having the next 4-year election is this year, October 2025. So this was done in October 2021, this plebiscite.
And once again, just to show how slow government is, it's now taken almost 4 years for them to do it.
That's
good that it's taken them that long, but I'm just saying that, you know, we agreed to it. Yes, let's do it. And then let's just drag our feet on.
I'll bet you some of those water treatment employees do not want it in.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm and probably all of them, because they know. We know a gentleman who worked there, and during the first the first public hearing they had, I felt I was all alone. I heard they were discussing taking fluoride out and leaving it out because of the equipment. And it was actually Drew Farrell who brought that motion forward. And so I panicked. I'm running down there to make sure I was at city council. It was my first time ever in city council chambers to participate in that. Were we already doing community association stuff? But I was really concerned. And the next time, there was another gentleman came in the council chambers looking stricken and panicked like I felt that first time. And I went and talked to him afterwards, and he used to work at Water Services, and he's a young father with many, many children. And he was very concerned about it. He told me stories about what they had to deal with working with the fluoride, and he did not want it back in the water. He knew how toxic it is.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So is there anything we can do about that? Because it sounds like they've already spent the $28 million on a facility. They've already committed to getting $1 million. And that was the other thing I was going to branch off into, is say, yeah, they're, like Art said, it's $1 million in cost, the actual fluoride, for lack of a better word. But are they getting any kickback to get rid of fluoride from somewhere else? Like, where does this come from? Because that would be another question. Like you said, it certainly doesn't come naturally. Well, so you can't just go mining fluoride, can you?
No, it's toxic waste, the stuff we're using. But the bottom line is that city council, they're in full election mode, and none of them have any inkling to bring this back up. Okay. And we've talked to several councillors, and they go, well, make it an election issue. So our only recourse, I think, unless someone can find something else for us, is to lobby the provincial government. They have to have a permit from Alberta Environment, Rebecca Schultz, to put it back in the water. Now, they had the permit approved in the last quarter of 2023. But it's a ministerial decision, says she can override any decision that's been made. And so
she can stop it then?
She can stop it, absolutely, 100%.
Phone her, please.
Well, so let's get some phone numbers out there. And
that's part of our take action on the take action page.
Yeah. And actually, before we get ahead of ourselves, so going back onto the Safe Water Calgary site here, I just want to show. You can go on to here, and you can also go on to Safe Water Calgary petition. And the idea is that you are taking signatures in terms of a petition, right?
Yes.
And you can sign it here and do all that. There's people are making comments, etc. And then once you've signed that, everybody should be going and doing that petition. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to take this down because that's kind of the way that this software works. I have to put that back on here, save it again, put that back up, and then I will put that into the comments so people know where to go.
After signing the petition, once you press the submit button, it automatically takes you to the take action page. Okay. Plus, it auto sends an email that will give them the information of other strategies they can do.
Okay.
To spread the word. Perfect. And to, like, I don't think the email actually contains all the information about the letters, because it takes them to that page, but it does share. Oh, it does both the strategies and tell them about the letters.
Yeah. So, you know, one of them is to write to Alberta Environment to revoke their approval. And that would actually kill it.
Is that right?
It's a bit of a long shot, but if enough people write and phone her, and the premier especially, because no one does anything without, you know, Danielle's approval.
Yeah,
we think there's probably a little you know, reluctance because, and we hear what one of the things that we hear a lot was the people voted for it. Well, we just went through the numbers. 1.6 million people did not vote for it. So,
And I do question, I think if people did vote for it, they just weren't educated on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus those other communities that didn't even have an opportunity to
vote. That was the other thing I wanted to get into, right? So the fact that, like we just said, you know, Airdrie is fed Calgary Water, and Chestermere is as well. And yes, really, they didn't even get a chance to vote. And yet, here's the water that's going to be going to those
communities. Yeah.
Where's the consent? Where's the consent?
Where's their freedom of choice, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, being medicated should be my choice. Out of that 1.8 million people, if one person says no, we should have to honor that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how socialist are we going to be to make everybody do what we want them to?
So again, let's just say this goes through and we were able to somehow convince the city council that, yes, okay, Art and Adele and Carrie don't want this. What recourse do we have? Can they give us water softeners? Like, I'm not even sure what they can do.
Only reverse osmosis will take this out.
And to be honest with you, so when you look at the manufacturer's stats of everything, you know, a Brita filter won't work. Those are cheap and, you know, that won't work. But the stats from the manufacturer are only in laboratory controlled conditions. Okay. So they'll say it takes out 90%. In your house, it won't. 70 maybe. You know, so you're still building up the fluoride. And then what about all the industries, all the times you go out to have coffee or you know, eat vegetables?
Oh, that's true, too.
And the bottling plants, what about the, I assume they do very serious water treatment. But is this going to add strain on their system? I know people, Carrie, who have told me after it's in the water, they're never going to eat out again. And I know there are people who have told me they are going to move out of the city. I spoke with a lady the other night at a town hall meeting, and she said, I'm getting ready to move. I am working towards moving. And she's not the only one. And many people I talk to say, oh, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not on city water. I said, well, you come here and drink coffee, don't you? Like, we're having a cup of coffee together right now or whatever. So,
Yeah. You know, even our good friend Bonnie asks, do you know if the Red Deer water system is fluorinated?
I'm almost 100% certain it is, Bonnie. Yeah. You can probably find out on the Red Deer website.
Yeah.
On the water services. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of thinking one safe place that we could go and not worry about fluoride in the water would be the Whistle Stop Cafe in Muir, Alberta. And with that, I see Chris is in the background. I'm going to bring him up here, and I know he's been listening for a little while. Maybe he's got a couple of things to say. Hello, Mr. Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well, Carrie, and how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
I've been here for like 3.5 hours. Thanks.
You do that to me all the time. You do this. Sort of, yeah. There you go. Little payback. Chris had to run and deliver a pizza because that's his other waitressing job. So that's now, do you know if they have fluoride in your water? Of course, I was joking about that, but do you have well water out there? Do you know where you get your water from, Chris?
Whoa, Carrie. Having a well is illegal.
Oh, that is illegal.
Why?
You can't do that. We're all on municipal water. We get Red Deer water. Okay. A few years ago, we actually put a pipeline in and brought that water all the way up to Bashaw. It's all Red Deer water and it's got fluoride in it. And one of our kids actually can't even drink it. One of our kids drinks it and they just feel weirdly sick. And so they just drink bottled water. Yeah.
So they want to equally medicate all of us, get us all on city water.
This is exactly the problem. So we're supposed to be all about choice.
Yeah.
Fluoride is available in all sorts of different forms rather than putting it in a community water supply. It seems like a very easy thing to me. If people want fluoride, they want fluoride treatments on their teeth, they can do that and they're free to do it. If people want to go and, you know, put whatever kind of chemical in their body, they're free to do it. But why is it that everybody has to do it? That's been my concern about this the entire time. Where is the choice?
Yeah.
And the dose control. That's another subject. But I have here a tube of toothpaste. I do not use this. I will
me
not.
Neither.
Somebody left it at my house after staying here for a while. One of the fringe festival artists that we billeted. And if you were to buy, I can't, my glasses aren't good enough to read this, but if you were to buy a tube of toothpaste in the United States, on the back, it would have a poison control label and say, if swallowed, call poison control.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're in Costco today and looking at, well, let's look at the toothpaste. And so we saw Sensodyne was on sale. And what Sensodyne is it has double, it's like double strength fluoride. It's supposed to numb your teeth.
Yeah.
And it does say, if you swallow this, please phone poison control.
And to be quite frank, it is my theory that using extra fluoride, like in Sensodyne or whatever, would increase the sensitivity because understanding the chemistry of how fluoride works to make your teeth harder. When you drink something hot, they hurt more. When you eat something cold, they hurt more. So it just would increase the sensitivity of it rather than help them with their problem. So,
well, damn, I use Sensodyne and I guess I'm not going to use it anymore. But it is funny because I actually have to. I've got a gaping hole in my teeth and my dentist has filled it and it just ends up falling out and blah, blah, blah. So it always has this, everything gets caught in there. And so that seems to be the only thing that is able to desensitize.
I can fix that for you. I can fix that, Carrie.
As a matter of fact, I usually put Sensodyne on my finger and just kind of leave it there in order to desensitize.
You're doing this all wrong.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay.
Now I know.
Clove oil.
JB Weld. JB Weld. No, not clove oil. JB Weld.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, JB Weld.
What is JB Weld? That sounds like some sort of welding.
It's like an epoxy. You can use it to patch a hole in an engine block. I can fix your tooth with it. No problem. Probably put
some duct tape up there too then.
Yeah, Gorilla tape. Yeah, right over your lips. So you know, stop. Quit talking all the time. Oh, no, so, that's me. Sorry. Oil,
Adele, you said clove oil?
Clove oil. Clove oil numbs your if you have an infection or a sensitive tooth area, it'll just, it's amazing.
Well, yeah, it really works. Yeah. Can I ingest that?
You can ingest it safely, yes. I don't know why you'd want, well, actually it's an antiparasitic, so probably very, very good for you.
It tastes terrible.
Yeah. It tastes terrible.
Well, even Sensodyne doesn't taste very, very good. Like, I mean, it tastes like, I can only imagine it tastes like fluoride. It's just this weird, whatever it is. Right. So, and now that you brought that up is that it's probably double the fluoride. That makes actually perfect sense to me. So
we heard recently, who was it told us they pulled the water report. You can actually pull the water report from the two water treatment plants here. And the most recent water report actually says we have naturally, and it fluctuates, but
she was wrong.
Was she wrong? You looked?
I looked today. Well, she says, oh, they have that much fluoride in the water naturally here.
0.7 or whatever.
But it's only like average 0.1 milligrams per liter in Calgary. And at peak, it's been 0.18, which is about a third of what they're going to put in. So
they actually have to monitor it and alter how much they put in. And of course, they can control the volume, but they can't control the dose. How much water do your kids need and drink compared to you? And their bodies are much smaller. An infant or a baby in utero, it's totally bad medical practice to not monitor and control the dose and then monitor somebody's symptoms and progress.
Yeah, yeah. They actually talk about this on a CBC website. That's why I put it up here. And the naturally occurring fluoride originates from erosion of the rock and soil in the watersheds that supply the city. Natural fluoride levels tend to be slightly higher in water from the Elbow River as compared to the Bow River, and usually the concentrations are highest in the winter. Good to know.
Yeah, so, well, that's 2014. Like last year's said that it was only the highest was 0.13 and the average was 0.1
mm-hmm.
at Bear's Paw. Anyways, that's their testing.
One of the problems we have in this area out here, actually Gull Lake, which is not on Red Deer water, they're on a well. The county is actually working to reduce the fluoride levels because the naturally occurring fluoride is quite high. And yeah. so they're trying to drop it down. I heard they were going to ship it to Calgary.
It's possible.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's to say like there is fluoride naturally occurring. And yeah. the reason why, at least this is the official reason, why they decided to do this is because they realized that in areas where the fluoride concentration of natural sources was higher, people's teeth tended to be better. Now that's mm-hmm. a pretty broad observation, kind of a generalization. So they thought, well, you know, maybe it's the fluoride helping their teeth, so let's put more in there. So there's some
correlation,
some logic behind it. However, yeah. the other side of it is, you know, what other effects are there? What side effects are there? What negative consequences are there? Yeah. Doesn't seem to have been explored nearly as much as just they have better teeth.
Well, they have explored this and they've come up with this number now. They call it a point of departure. Anyways, it's 1.5 milligrams per liter, which is double what, you know, Calgary's is going to be. But at that point, dental fluorosis becomes a huge problem and it actually weakens your teeth. So, you know, from an engineering standpoint, which is my background, is like, this is a very low factor of safety. Like to go from 1.5 is your point of departure for having side effects to 0.7 is only a factor of 2. And for added chemicals, the factor of safety is usually 10 times. So if your point of departure is 1.5, you should only have 0.15 and we're already there. So anyway, yeah. that's my little engineering number crunching.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of numbers, well, let's just kind of do a quick actuarial thing on this. If the plant costs $28 million, it's $1 million per year. We have, let's say, 1 million residents. I know we have more, but just for sake of argument, it's about $1 a person for being able to do this, right? And again, everybody's doing it. It hasn't given everyone consent. So here, Lorette actually does say they could just have parents put fluoride drops in kids' water. So if you were really concerned about that, we could just go back to not fluoridated water. And then I put this one up here initially, and we could all just go out and buy a pack of this for $14 and put this on our kids' teeth. And then we would be in total control of what we're able to do to our own kids and our own bodies.
You know, but don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Just saying. Just saying. You could.
But realistically, because honestly, if there are people that are concerned about this, I don't know. Like, I don't know how long this particular, whatever it is, that fluorine. Well,
just go buy a 5-pack of this at
and do the same thing
right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that should last a family of 4 more than a year. I mean, you're only supposed to give a tiny little smear for a child and they're not supposed to swallow it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this should last a family a long time. And it's, what, $20 maybe?
Yep. Yeah. So, $5 a tube now or something stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah. So really the point being is that we could just say, you know, get a hold of Rebecca Schultz, say, kill this. It's a stupid idea. Yeah, we've spent the $28 million on it. But you know what? We've spent more money sending stuff out to Ukraine and doing whatever, right? So exactly. Let's just call it a day. And if people want to be able to have control of their own bodies, there you go. Just go on Amazon.
Just exactly. What if people specifically just don't consent to that?
Exactly.
I mean, to be administered anything, you're supposed to give informed consent. And if you don't consent to that being in the city water supply, how could they put it in there?
Well, they are saying they think some people propose that it's just bringing it up to a certain standard of water delivery, and we're supposed to deliver you pure water, and it normally would have this in it. Well, it does, as we know, but the governmental agencies, when you ask them about consent, they will say things like, well, it's up to the, it's in the city's jurisdiction and it's up to the courts to decide whether or not it's a medication that mm-hmm. is under the covered under the Bill of Rights.
That was the response specifically from the deputy minister of the Department of Justice and to our complaint that it was violating our, they're medicating us without our consent, and it's violating the new Alberta Bill of Rights that they mm-hmm. touted so much.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm saying to the people, I'm saying to the government, is like, if you're not willing to protect us from fluoride as a medical treatment, like what's going to happen when they want to force vaccinate us again? Are you going to actually protect us? Otherwise, like, if they can't protect us against fluoride, the Bill of Rights is not worth the paper it's printed on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
Yeah, it's a good argument for sure. So again, if people are just tuning in, then we're going to give you an action that you need to do. You need to go to, throw that up on the, there. Go to the Alberta Safe or safewatercalgary.com and then go to the petition page, fill out that petition, and then it will take you automatically to the action page. And that action page will also give you some links to be able to write your city council, your MLA, your environmental minister of Rebecca Schultz. And there's no reason why we can't actually get this thing to stop, other than then they'll go, well, I guess we've just spent that money and it was just thrown out the window.
But, you know, Alberta's not going to care. The Department of Environment's not going to care that Calgary wasted their money. It's up to them, Alberta Environment, to protect it.
I did want to show you one thing because this is near and dear to both Chris and my hearts here. This is from Alberta Health Services on the touting the benefits of water fluoridation, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, with our run-ins with AHS, I don't even think this is worth the screen that this is being posted on.
Yeah, but if you go to the bottom and you look at the date that this is done, this was done in like the document's done in 2019. It's not all this new information has just come out.
That's right.
At the end of 2024.
And all these different jurisdictions just do this, point to each other. Oh, well, they, Health Canada says it's good for teeth and Health Canada, you know, they all just point to each other to do it. The province says it's the city's responsibility and decision, and you made a decision in the plebiscite, you know, so it just keeps going around and around. But the other thing in this letter from the Minister of Justice, Deputy Minister, they're basically implying that your recourse is to sue. And well, you know, they're committing lawfare. So we see it time and again. We're just up against this whole lawfare thing. And
it costs money to sue.
Yeah. So frustrating. Now there are solutions. So we want as many people as possible to sign the petition. The comments, are going to harvest them and send them into council and communicate the numbers. And there's some check boxes there that with respect to if they're new to the idea, to understanding that fluoride is harmful or whatever. But the power is in the numbers. We know this government, both like the municipal government, the provincial government is very concerned about what people think. And we've basically had for the last several years, governance by polls and polling. And so we need the numbers to be able to communicate to them, this is what we want, and you're not going to get lambasted in the press, or if you are, you can prove and hold this up and say, Alberta was for us. Alberta supported this decision. So the more the better.
And we'd like anyone in Alberta to come in.
Oh, yes, because.
Yes, because it affects all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And likewise, it's like if I lived in, I don't know, let's say Mir didn't get city water, and I happen to visit for Stampede here, and now I, you know, I'm just a visitor, and now I'm drinking water here.
Exactly.
You're drinking beer. Don't even drinking water. That, come on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was that beer brewed in Alberta? Even, oh no.
Even me drinking water like this feels weird.
Yeah.
I was gonna grab have a glass of water, and then I decided that I should have something safer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Depends on where it was. If it's California wine, it probably has
fluoride. La 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 la. It's Utah, non-alcoholic.
Yeah. So yeah, it does affect the whatever product we consume. From the jurisdiction that it comes.
You know? That's very true. Yeah.
And if we can convince Rebecca Schultz to take away her permission, that would affect everybody, including Red Deer and Chris and Mirror and the people in Edmonton. So write Rebecca.
Yeah, write to Rebecca for sure. Phone.
But wait a minute. What will the Tesla burners who want fluoride do if we don't put it in the water?
Well, the mainstream media says,
there we go.
Whatever the mainstream media says that they will do, right? So if the mainstream says you need fluoride in the water, like the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing, they will want fluoride in the water. So
it's pretty sad to watch this stuff happen around us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to ask, and I'm not sure if we actually even touched on it, but you know, according to this. Fluoride was expected to return to Calgary drinking water by March, by now. Now it's being put off and delayed. Any idea of when they would actually be doing it? And do we have a window where we could actually get Rebecca Schultz, et cetera, to cancel?
By the end of quarter two, they said they would do it. This was their latest press release just the other day. And so they said they would give us 30 days written notice that they're doing it. Which they never said before. They never said that they were going to give us any notice. So it must be working to a point. We just have to keep the pressure up because this was the first time they said, you know, oh, we're going to give you 30 days notice before we turned on. And it's already past the deadline. So I think that the amount of calls and letters must be making a difference.
Well. Hopefully our podcast will reach out and like I said, I'll edit it up and cut things up and put it on TikTok, and I'm pretty sure we'll be banned after that, just on TikTok.
And I don't know if we mentioned it, but you know, the product that they use has other toxins mixed in it, not on purpose, but because of its source. Okay. So most of what we get and use in North America is from China, because they run out of the manufacturers from the fertilizer industry in Florida. So they run out of that product, so they have to make up for it. And most of it actually does come from China. Now, I don't know what contracts they've signed here, but it is contaminated with other heavy metals and other things. So
including lead. In small
arsenic, lead, mercury, whatever it comes out, you know. So they're putting that in the water. Now, if you were to do that, if you were to put that in the water, you'd go to jail.
I can't even wash my car in my driveway with
exactly. Ceramic. Exactly.
That is a thing in Calgary. If people don't know, yes, I can pressure wash my vehicle just with pure water and all the fluoride that I possibly want. But as soon as I add soap and it goes down to the drain, I get fined for it because it costs extra in order to get rid of that soap out of the water supply. That's a true story. But only in Calgary, as far as I know. Winnipeg, it's not a big deal. I don't think it is in Edmonton. I could be wrong. Chris washes his car never, so it doesn't really affect him at all.
I wash it in my gravel driveway.
Yeah,
and there is actually a toothpaste that people are using to remineralize the teeth, and it's the substance in it is hypoxyapatite, and that apparently is what our body creates to remineralize.
You
can buy a toothpaste. It is more money. Anything that's not made by the big companies. Just lost my tube, whatever, anything that is going to be lots more money. to not put fluoride in your toothpaste will cost you more money for those fluoride, for those toothpaste. So it's about $14, but your teeth will get whiter over time. And, and we've had people report that their, you know, their dental things are improving, their caries are improving. So
since we're talking about whiter teeth, one thing I, when I did talk to my daughter, who's third year dental school, she did say, don't use charcoal toothpaste. And if you guys know, the reason it, you know, you use it once and your teeth begin to look whiter because basically it's getting rid of the stuff that was on there. But at some point, if you keep using it, you are wearing down your teeth.
It's abrasive.
So, yeah. I bought a tube and you know, I haven't even used the tube. I used it for whatever amount, let's say 20 sessions of brushing my teeth. And then that was it. So
Yeah.
So don't do that, people.
Yeah.
we'll send you the link for this other.
Yeah, please do, and then we'll post it in the comments.
Yes, this is high tech stuff.
Yeah.
It was designed for the space station, just like Tang.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And I think by the Japanese too.
You can't argue with the science because the science is proven.
Right. And it never changes. Yeah.
Is there a consensus?
On anything?
Never. Never 100% sure. I think the only thing we can say is that we need water. As living organisms, we need water. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Also, I hate to be a party pooper, but I got to get back to work.
Okay. Well, thanks for popping on. I think we're going to wrap up anyways. Art and Adele, thanks again for coming on. Any last words you want to say about the whole topic at all?
No, just...
sign the petition, write the letters, make the phone calls.
Write the politicians. It's starting to bother them, I think.
Yes.
I like bothering politicians. I do like that. There's nothing.
Yes. That's fun.
All right. Well, with that, thanks again for coming on. And I'm, you know, there's so much to talk about. I think Chris and I will probably do one or two or 20 podcasts this week if he's got time.
All the time in the world. Yep.
All the time. Exactly. Yeah. Of course, the podcast will end up being done at like 2 and 3 in the morning. But either way, that will be done because, you know, with the election being called today and all that's going to be ending up happening. We also received some sad news today, too. And I just want to quickly show that if I can find the tab that I had open. There we are. That Douglas Force, if anybody knows that name, who the Myth of Canada passed away today. And so he's one of those freedom fighters that was trying to get the word out on government corruption, et cetera, et cetera. And so he will be missed from our community. So Douglas Force.
For sure.
Letting you know that. And with that, I'm going to wrap things up. Chris, do you ever have anything last to say? Probably not.
I usually don't. No. No, just Art and Adele, thanks for taking the time to actually do something about a problem that you see in the world. Many people don't do that. And that's why we're where we're at. So if it wasn't for people like you who are actually making the sacrifices to make the changes they want to see, there would be no changes. So I appreciate you guys.
And there really is such a small percentage of people out there that are doing what we're trying to do. And so yes, Art and Adele and yeah, it's amazing. We were talking with a couple of other friends, including Mitch Sylvester, just a few weeks ago about, could we actually name all the people in the freedom movement and all that here in Alberta? And my list is like dozens, if not hundreds of people long. And even Mitch was like, I'm not sure if I could. And it's like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Art and Adele were definitely near the top of the list for sure. But you know, out of a million we're at 4.4 million in Alberta, you know, and a million plus people in Calgary. It's such a small percentage. And I would like to be able to tap into those people that might just not even sure how to get involved.
Exactly.
Just get involved.
That's why I sent my email.
This might be one of the first steps that you can do is just sign up for this and that'll kick your butt into gear in order to do that. Likewise, please go to the chriscarryshow.com. You can reach out to us. We'll get you involved with anything, Alberta Prosperity Project, etc. So, I mean, there's lots of groups out there that would definitely need help in volunteers, and especially with what's been happening in terms of the tariffs south of the border. I mean, it's such a hot topic as well, and you know, we'll definitely be talking more about that. I know we're going to be talking to Jeff Rath, and
I'm going to buy a Tesla.
Are you going to get one of those ugly? What are those called? Cybertruck.
No.
Be able to see someone key his Cybertruck. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god!
Probably get a fire sale on one, Chris.
Oh, ouch! Art, wow, too soon.
Wow. No, it wasn't soon enough. That was good.
That was a real hot buy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and with that, you guys have an excellent night, and we will
see you.
Cheers, everybody. Okay.